Everyone can't have the gift of evangelism. Everyone can't have the gift of administration. If everyone had the gift of administration, everyone would be delegating everything and nothing would get done, right? We just have a bunch of delegators. You do that, you do that. No, you do that, you do that. I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge, right? Everyone, let's just do our thing. And if your thing is different than my thing, then praise God, because who designed it? God did. Right? God did. Number four. God has gifted me for the benefit of the family of God. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. Listen, your gift is not given for you to enjoy. Amen. Some people think that they've been given a special gift or two, and their gift is just to sit alone on a mountaintop and enjoy their gift. Oh, I'm gifted. I have this wonderful gift, and it's just me and God. Okay, we're just enjoying my gift. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, I'm so spiritual. Right? That's not a spiritual gift. Why? Because it says right here, what does Paul say to the Corinthians? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for whom? For the common good. If you aren't in relationship with other Christians, what good is your gift? And so I would challenge those people who say, my gift is between me and God, and you know, we're the only ones that enjoy. I don't know if that's really a gift, according to what the Bible strictly teaches. Gifts are meant to be shared. Amen. Gifts are meant to be shared. And if you aren't in the church, or if you aren't in relationship and fellowship with other believers, guess what? You're missing out. You are missing out because you don't have a community to share your gifts. Your community needs you. We have many communities today. Praise God, we have many different communities. You have your family, you have your coworkers, you have your clubs, you have the people that work out at your gym, it's great. We got so many different communities that each and every one of those communities needs you. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Is this world a dark place or not? Is this world a lonely place or not? Is this world a wicked place or not? Then this world needs Jesus. And you've got Jesus, and you've got gifts, and your community needs you. Is there a friend of yours? A neighbor, an associate? Someone you hang out with that needs Jesus? Is someone close to you going through a difficult time? Do they need encouragement? Right, there you go. You don't necessarily have to go thousands of miles away. There's hurting people. There's people who need your help right there. I am still important, even if I'm not highly visible. Okay, now, I love this verse. I love this verse. Everyone, please read this verse with me. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Circle that word. Indispensable. Weaker means indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. Now think about this. Most of us are adults here. We know what Paul is talking about, okay? I don't need to get into the... I can keep it PG, okay, right? But that's true, isn't it? Those things, those parts of our body that we would never display in public, those things are the most important ones, right? In our hands, you know, who cares, right? They get dirty, they get rough, they get calloused. But those so-called weaker members of the body, we treat with special modesty, with special honor. So sometimes in the body of Christ, we think, oh, only those gifts that can be paraded up here, those are the important ones. That's a bunch of BS. That's a lie from Satan. Every single member. How many of you can point to a pancreas? Did you know? Young men, did you know that there is a part of your body called the pancreas? Did you know that? No. You know why? Because your pancreases are in perfect health because you're young and they work fine, so you don't have to worry about them. All right? But as we get older, the doctor says, oh, you know, your numbers aren't good. What do you mean my numbers aren't good? And they have all these numbers now. All of a sudden, when I was young, I didn't know they had numbers, right? People had numbers. But now they have all these numbers, okay? Your blood pressure number, your blood sugar number, your cholesterol number, all these numbers, okay? And how do you know these? You know what's going on? Well, they all have to do with these internal organs, these little things that kidneys and livers and things that we never think about. You never think about, but my gosh, see, these guys don't even know what a pancreas is. But when something is wrong with your pancreas, you cannot filter out the proteins and the fats. And what happens is there's no insulin being produced and you have blood sugar problems. And when you have blood sugar problems, you can get diabetes, you can become blind, lots of bad things that can happen, and your organs fail. And all because of a little organ in your body that no one hears about, no one thinks about until there's something wrong with it. The hands get all the glory. Give me your hand. Lend a hand. Let's give them a hand, right? A helping hand. The eyes. Oh, the eyes are the window of the soul, you know, right? If you say my eyes are beautiful, it's because they're looking at you, you know, right? Oh, I get lost when I look in your eyes, right? The eyes get all the glory. Or maybe the heart, okay? If we're talking about organs, the heart gets all the glory. Oh, give me your heart. Valentine's Day. Have you ever heard of a song about a pancreas? I love to sing of your pancreas, right? You know, nobody sings songs about the pancreas. But if there's something wrong with your pancreas, you end up in the hospital. If there's something wrong with the pancreas, you can die. Are you important just because you're not readily visible? Yes, you are. Shoot. The health of the whole church might depend on you and nobody even sees it. Because you're the one praying for the church every day. You're the one doing the things behind the scenes that need to be done. You're the one putting out the fires. You are an MVP in God's eyes. Ronald Reagan, I think it was, and you know, not to be pro-Democrat or pro-Republican or whatever, but Ronald Reagan, I think it was, who popularized the phrase, no one knows the work that can be done as long as people just don't care who gets the credit. But if all of us just pitched in and did whatever it took for the team, no matter who got the credit, imagine, even a small group of people like this, imagine what we could do. You are important. Last point. I'm required by God to use the gifts He has given me in this life, and I will receive great reward for it, not just here, but also in the next life. Paul says, but each one should be careful what? How he builds. If any man builds his work, will be shown for what it is. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about a time in the near future where not only the world will be judged,
before the throne of God, but we too as Christians. Okay? Now listen, I don't want you to misunderstand. Many Bible scholars believe that there are actually two judgments. And when you look at this, it falls suit. Now, one judgment will be basically, do you know Jesus or not? Are you going to get into heaven or not? And that is based, very simple, it's based upon not our righteousness, but Christ's righteousness.
But here you have another judgment, and this is an in-house judgment. This is a family judgment. God's going to gather all of his kids together, all of his servants together, and he's going to say, okay, kids, now it's time to hand out the prizes, okay? Now it's time to hand out the rewards. Now it's Christmas morning, okay? All right, woo! It's a good time. And he is going to judge every person's life. Yes, we all have been saved through the fire by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We're all going home. We're all going to have a big party. But now it's time to hand out the rewards. And he's going to test your life. And Paul talks about a life being built with various ingredients, various building materials, like gold, precious stones, diamonds, precious metals, beautiful stuff, and hay, popsicle sticks, okay, all right, wood, straw. Now, if something like this, and this is what we call mixed media, right? If you have an art project and you don't use just one substance, you use many different substances, maybe you could call it mixed media, okay? You go to the Crocker Art Museum, you see a sculpture that's made with all kinds of different things, mixed media. Now, you have a mixed media life. It goes through the fire, what's going to happen? The fire of the furnace is going to burn up what? It's going to burn up all the paper, no matter how beautiful it is. Don't get me wrong, there are some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful paper sculptures. There are beautiful things you could do with paper. But you know what? It doesn't last through fire. Okay? Wood. I mean, woodworking. Wood is gorgeous. But you know what? It doesn't last through fire. And the wood and the hay and the paper and the popsicle sticks and all of the other things that we build our life on is going to burn up. But the only thing that's going to last is what? The gold and the silver and the precious gems. You know what? That's a picture. That's a metaphor, okay, of a person's life. That means whatever you do for Jesus is going to last for eternity. And everything else is going to be gone. It may be important in this life, but it's not going to last in the next. You see what I mean? Now, if you have been blessed with the ability to make money here in this life, praise God. Praise God. Make as much as you can and then give as much as you can to God's work. Why? Because you can't take it with you. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how successful you are. Not a single thin dime, not a penny is going to make the jump. It's all going to stay here. And so Jesus says, if you have money, use it to gain heavenly friends. Use it to gain heavenly reward, because it will all be taken away from you. We know this. The richest men in the world, the most powerful men in the world, the most powerful people in the world, heck, even Oprah can't take it with her. The first emperor of China was a brutal warlord, master politician, ruthless ruler, and brought all of China into one kingdom. Tribes and peoples who were at war with one another, he conquered them all and brought them all together, and he created the vast empire of China. He was the richest, most powerful man of his time, and he wanted to take it all with him. And so he put his craftsmen to work. And they built horses and chariots and 6 foot tall terracotta warriors to defend him in the afterlife, so that he would go into the afterlife like an emperor. And in the afterlife, he would conquer everyone just like he conquered everyone here on earth. He didn't want his reign to end. In fact, he had built a replica of all of China, of all of his lands, with the sun and the moon and the stars and rivers of mercury. He had people buried alive with them. And all of his warriors, rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of warriors, had spears and crossbows and swords and armor. And he was, wow. Guess what? Where's the emperor now? He's gone. But where are his troops? Still here. You see that? The emperor is gone. But his troops are still here. You can't take it with you. Doesn't matter how rich and powerful you are. And so our lives will be tested by fire. And the only thing that will be left are those things that we have done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Gets me excited, right? Amen. Jesus says, even if you give a cup of cold water to these brothers of mine, you've done it to me. That is an investment plan for the ages. You don't need to diversify your portfolio. Put it all in Jesus Christ. Amen. Put it all in Jesus Christ. Are you going to trust your bank? Or are you going to trust God to protect your investment? Yeah, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. His security system is unbeatable. Moths don't get into heaven. Rust doesn't exist. There are no thieves. So, what do we learn? You are gifted. You don't have to be able to sing up here. You don't have to be able to play a guitar. You don't have to, you know what? You don't have to be good at computers. You are good at something. You are gifted in something. You have a passion and a burden and a heart and abilities that are different and are unique and experience. You have experience that is unique to any other person on the planet. And God wants to use you because he created you and he designed you and he put you in this body because he has orchestrated it for this church to do great things for God. And the time is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today. Today.